He attends our men's get-together on Wednesday mornings, and what a joy you've been to me. And for your dear bride, I thank God so much for you. And come and share the Word of God with us, would you? Is it going to be in English?
Yes.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, are you going to come down here?
Yeah, I get used to this one. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, thank you, Pastor Andy, and giving me the opportunity to share with you for the word of the Lord. My sound can testify that I've been sick for quite a few days, but now I'm much better. So this morning I want to share with you on the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. So let's start from there. I use ESV. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. Verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. We know this brother James. Now, there are several James in the Bible, but this James, Most Bible scholars believe, actually he was the brother of Jesus. And we also know that this James, the brother of Jesus, at one time in Jesus' ministry, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He was not a believer. But later, and Jesus resurrected and appeared to him, and James became a believer and became a pillar in the church. Brothers, sisters, that this person was a transformed person by God. And what was the sign that when a person is transformed by God, he became very humble? He said, I'm a servant. I'm a bond servant. Actually, I am a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brothers, sisters, maybe we can all be encouraged when the Lord touch our hearts. And what will be the first thing? Many times we humble ourselves before the Lord. And this is one characteristic of James. When his life turned around by God, and he became a humble servant, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. You know, the 12 tribes were of the Jacob, the 12 tribes. But you know what? Those tribes, if we look at the history of Israel, we find that, you know, talking about the dispersion of the Jews, and many often it has something to do with their disobedience to God, and then God raised circumstances and let them be dispersed. That's one of the reasons. There could be other reasons too, but we could see here that the Jews there all over the place, and some of them became believers in Jesus Christ. And they, obviously, in this passage, they were facing some difficulties in life. And so, now, you know, these Jews, they were all scattered over, and they were God's chosen people, and they were facing some difficulties in life. Now, they could be thinking that, well, we have been forgotten by God. Where are we in relation to God? We are going through some difficulties in life. So, James, in this book, specifically, he was addressing to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, reminding all these Jewish believers in Christ that they are not forgotten, that God has not forgotten them. Maybe their ancestors have forgotten God, and then God had, you know, brought them to all the places. However, God still loves them and has not forgotten them. And James want to specially address to these folks. Brothers, sisters, sometimes in our life, we might also think, because we face difficulty, and then we think, maybe God has forgotten me. God is doing good to this brother, to that sister, but how about me? And then, where am I in relation to God? Brothers, sisters, may this passage encourage you that God still loves you, and he has not forgotten you. And so, this is a passage for those who are scattered, and who might think they have been forgotten, but they are not. God still loves them. Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, he's talking about the meat. That is, that this passage that James was addressing to these brothers, sisters, is that they were meeting trials of various kinds. Trials. Some difficulties in life. Some difficulties may be health difficulties. Some people struggle with health. Some people struggle with finance. Some people struggle with love, relationship. Some people struggle with education. Some people struggle with the work and all kinds. And some people even struggle within themselves. They seem everything fine, but deep inside, they struggle internally. The various struggles of life. You know, in the Chinese translation, in verse 2, when it says, the trials of various kinds, you know, the Chinese translation translate that trials of 100 different kinds. That's how many different kinds. Brothers, sisters, what kind of trials are you facing right now? You know, the Chinese say that life, 8 and 9 out of 10 are unpleasant. Well, that's pretty pessimistic. But truthfully, we all meet trials of various kinds. So this passage is to encourage brothers and sisters how to handle the trials of various kinds. Verse 2, let's read it one more time. James said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. You know, my friend, most people, when we meet trials of various kinds, will we really be joyful? Let's be honest. I don't think so. So right here, there is something that we have to stop and think about it. James said, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. You know, my friend, right here, verse 2 is telling us there is a difference in terms of looking at the value of life. In other words, from basically from human standpoint, that when we look at the trials of various kinds, we say, oh my goodness, oh, get away from me. Oh, what a sad news that I face various kinds of trial. But James looked at differently. James said, count it all joy. You know, my friend, this is obviously a different attitude on the value. You know, let me just give you an example. When we look at the value, right? And so I have two puppies at home. Boy, do they love to eat. And my friend, You give them a small piece of meat. Boy, they just treat it like, yeah, they love it. However, brothers, sisters, if I take out a $20 bill, if I take out a $20 bill, and I put this $20 bill in front of my puppies, I say, hey, honey, you know what? Here is a piece of meat, okay? As a 1 ounce of meat. And here is $20 bill. which one would you like? And the dog wouldn't bother with this. And the dog wants to get that piece of meat. But the dog could not discern the value that this $20 can get a few pounds of meat. Ah, did you see that? The difference between an animal and a human discerning the value. Ah. James is saying, brothers, sisters, when you face various kinds of trials, count it as joy. We humans will ask, God, how can that be? That doesn't make sense. God said, well, it depends on who is looking at the value. Brothers, sisters, have you thought about that? That what trials of various kinds that you and I are facing, in the eyes of God, that we should be joyful. Because he looks at the value very different from human. Just like we look at the value very different from a puppy. Verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Ah, here he is telling us that we know. Know what? Know the value. That is what we call the wisdom of God. For we know that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. Ah, now James is telling us why. Because in the eyes of God, you know, that he wants us to know that every time we face trials of various kinds, that it is the testing of our faith in God. In other words, our faith in God need to be put to test. You know, brothers and sisters, in America, you know, one time I saw advertising about new car. They put the new car in the extremely cold weather. And then they put the new car in extremely hot weather. And then some of the cars, they put on the road test, not just a few miles, 10,000, 100,000 miles. They keep running the car in all kinds of weather condition in order to test the new product, how reliable it is. Brothers and sisters, remember the Bible says we are God's new creation in Jesus Christ. When we are God's new creation in Jesus Christ, we are God's new product. We are God's workmanship. And so because we are God's new creation, new product, and God said, Joshua, I'm going to put your faith to test. And when our faith is put to test, and we will face different kind of trials in order to prove, to test our faith. Just like the car, to be put in different kind of extreme conditions in order to prove that a car is good and ready. So here it says, verse 3, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It seems to indicate that unless that our faith is put to test, that this special quality called steadfastness cannot be produced. Interesting. Without the testing of our faith, then the steadfastness could not be produced. You know, my friend, this past week, my wife and I have been married 38 years. 38 years is quite a while. And you know what, my friend? So my wife saw that on the day, it was January 26th. You know, this whole week I've been sick. And then I saw it on Facebook, and my wife posted on the Facebook, happy anniversary to my best buddy, Joshua Shun. Love you. Ah. So I took her out for dinner that night. Hey, my friend, for marriage to be lasting long, right? It has the both husband and wife put them to test. They can argue, they can fight, you know, they have all kinds of disagreement. But you know what? Put them to test. They face all kinds of trials. And then through out of that, that steadfastness produced. They become stronger. They, even though they both are both characters, but turn out to be stronger, because through the testing of your faith, that steadfastness is produced. Could it be, my friend, right now, God is in the work of your life, is in order to put your faith, in order that put to test, in order to produce steadfastness. Verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Oh, brothers, sisters, not just one time, not just two times, continuously, so that it may the steadfastness have full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Brothers, sisters, take a look at verse 1 to 4. In this section, James seems, he didn't say anything that, when you face trials of various kind, okay, just ask God to remove them. Take those trials away from you as soon as possible. Did you see that? We didn't find that. Verse 1 to verse 4, James did not say anything that, when you face various kinds of trials, just ask God to remove them as soon as possible. No, he didn't. Rather, it says, let the testing of your faith produce steadfastness, and the steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So, from these few verses, we can draw a conclusion. The conclusion is this: in the eyes of God, in the wisdom of God, that God looks at our character transformation much more important than the change of our environment. Because many times when we face trials of various kinds, our prayer, our attitude toward God is always, God, oh my goodness, take them away. As soon as possible. It's like fast food mentality. Hurry up, please, be gone. But James didn't say that. James rather emphasized the perseverance, the steadfastness. So my friend, this morning, did you know that in the wisdom of God, in the value of God, God looks of your and my character transformation much, much more important than changing our environment. Next one, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, I'll let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Very interesting. Talking about facing trials, how to handle that. All of a sudden, James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. other sisters. Now, one thing we do know about this passage, that this passage is about how to handle trials. Why do we know that? Let's take a look at the last verse, verse 12. Take a quick look at verse 12. Okay, verse 12. Verse 12, look at what the Bible says. James said, oh, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Did you see that, brothers and sisters? In the very beginning of verse 2, talk about facing trial. And then here, it says, oh, blessed are those who remain steadfast under trial, because God will bless them. Verse 2 says, be joyful when you face trials of various kinds. And then verse 12 says, oh, all those who have been steadfast in facing trials, they will be blessed by God. So we know this passage, verse 1 to 12, that James has in mind is encouraging brothers, sisters in Christ, how to face trials with the right attitude. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, my friend here talk about the wisdom. It's not just asking God. James assumed that we will ask God. We will ask God, and ask God about what? He said, if you lack wisdom. In other words, in the eyes of James, he looks at, in when we face trial of various kinds, that to have the wisdom from God is more important. Now, first of all, in the book of James, chapter 3, we know that there are two different kinds of wisdom. Let me just briefly read it to you. Now, in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Brothers and sisters, from this passage, we know in the eyes of James, the author, he looked at the wisdom in two different kinds. One is called the human wisdom or the earthly wisdom. But that is not godly wisdom. But also there is what? There is godly wisdom. Here, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what kind of wisdom? Godly wisdom. Let him ask God. So here, it's not just say, oh God, I want a Mercedes-Benz. Please, in Jesus' name, let it be here. God may give you one. However, God is not going to give everybody just like that. But here it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, particularly one subject, is that if we lack wisdom, what do you mean? The wisdom to handle when we face trials of various kinds. Oh, my friend, wisdom, the ability to discern that from coming from God when we face difficulty, and how to have the godly wisdom to choose the right attitude and right path is very, very important. This wisdom, you know, my friend, one time I read an article about several billionaires in Asia. This article said that several billions in Asia, and they didn't become billionaire very easy. There were times that actually they were at the brink of bankruptcy. Their business gone so bad that they were at the brink of bankruptcy. They owe the bank lots of money, their company. And so there are two options they can have. One is they run away, claim bankruptcy, disappear. So now they don't owe the bank anything. But they choose the harder way. They choose the harder way. And the harder way was that they go into the bank, face to face, talk to the bank management. They said, this is how much I owe you. And I don't know how to pay you back, but I want to pay you back. Can we work out something that I can pay you back step by step? They could choose the easier path, that is, you know, came bankruptcy, so it's a company anyway, so they don't have to worry about it. But they did not. So what happened? So these banks, they began to trust these people. They felt that these people have integrity. These people, they could stand the trials of various kinds, and they are steadfast. They didn't back off or run away. They rather face the consequences. So what happened is that these people have gained trust among the bankers. And from then on, and the bankers are more than willing to lend the money to do bigger business. My friend, you see, sometimes we choose the humanly, you know, all those wise guys' way, and actually it turned out to be the bad deal. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it would be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Very interesting. James said, let him ask, but make sure ask in faith. It's almost like, oh God, I ask you to bless me. But then what do you mean by faith? Could it be possible, brother, sister, when we ask God to bless us, and then after we finish praying, and we say, I don't think that's going to work. Possible. Let him ask in faith. Very interesting. He already asked God to bless him. But then James said, you need to ask God in faith. In other words, when we ask God for something, don't after finish praying say, forget it. That guy is not going to honor that. Okay, let me go my way. And then what happens is that we see the consequences that follows. Brothers, sisters, when we ask God in faith, in other words, when we ask God, we expect good things from God. You know, my friend, the other thing is that I find in personal way in prayer is that sometimes when we pray and then afterwards after praying, we lose faith. But There's one way I find it works. Continue to pray. Continue to pray the same thing. And if you repeatedly continue to pray in perseverance, before long, you begin to believe what you pray. Remember the widow who knocked on the door of the unjust judge in the Bible? That's what happens. She kept knocking. You know, that's what I find. You know, every day I spend some time praying. And the part of the reason is that I believe that prayer works. Now, prayer may not work every time the way that I want it, but prayer works overall, absolutely. And one thing that we begin to believe in the prayer with faith is that we repeat, we keep going. So here's that. But let him ask in faith. Don't just ask God and then afterwards, oh, I don't think God is going to do that. Okay, forget it. All right. But continue and expect great things from God with no doubting. You know, my friend, the reason I want to brought up my marriage 38 years because when I first got married, boy, I tell you, so many people didn't think that we could make it. I came from Hong Kong, a city boy. My wife came from upstate New York, a farm girl. She brought me to upstate and showed me the farm. Oh my goodness, does that smell good? It's a really, really different. I was a city boy. I came from Hong Kong. You know, at that time it was a British colony, a very, very modern city. And I came from that environment. And my wife's wearing the boots all with the manure, you know. I tell you, how would that work? So a lot of people say, this marriage is not going to last long. But you know what, my friend? We pray asking God to bless our marriage. And we continue to pray as God and in faith. Now verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And then verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, from these few verses, verse 5 to verse 8, what can we conclude? Brothers, sisters, in here, there was one Bible scholar said, in the Jewish faith, that they look at that the wisdom, they focus more on how to live out our faith in various different kind of trials condition, rather than the wisdom say, let's have the wisdom solve the problem. Okay, let me just say it again. In the Jewish that their understanding of the faith, of understanding the wisdom of God, is that they ask God. It's not like, oh God, oh I'm facing difficulty right now. Oh God, give me wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Solve all my problems. Now that's the kind of wisdom we always like to ask God, but this one Bible study said the Jewish, they're thinking that is a different. That is, oh God, give me wisdom that when I face these different kind of trials in life, how can I live out my faith? Brothers, sisters, did you see that the difference? To ask God to give us the wisdom. Oh, when I face this difficulty, how can I live out my faith? Rather than, oh God, oh, give me wisdom so I can solve the problem. Yeah, I owe $10,000. God, $10,000 from heaven. Pew, paid off. But rather say, oh God, I owe $10,000. Give me the wisdom. How can I live out my faith in this situation? In other words, in the eyes of God, it is more important. Sorry. In the eyes of God, it is more important that how we have the wisdom to live out in various trials, living out of our faith, rather than, oh God, give me wisdom so I can solve all the problem. That is the difference. The last one. I didn't know the time's up. Last one, verse 9 to 12. Let the lowly brother boast in his exhortation. Huh? Lowly brother. I look at the background of the, it says that at that time, 90% of the people were poor. 10% considered well-to-do. People struggle. Majority of the people 2,000 years ago struggle with life. It says, verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exhortation. How can the lowly brother, the brother already has nothing there. He is already dirt poor. What can he boast about it? Very interesting. My friend, here, let the lowly brother, how is he lowly? Because he's worldly lowly. In the eyes of the world, he is lowly. He has nothing to brag about. However, let him boast in his exaltation. How in the world can the lowly brother be exalted? Because when a person believes in Jesus Christ, his status, his spiritual status is changed. So in other words, his social status was still low, but his spiritual status has changed and become high because he is a child of God. Verse 10, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. Let the rich, the rich, they are rich. They already, wow, people want to become rich in life. However, James said, well, let the rich also understand that in his humiliation, how can the rich be humiliated? Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. I read news on the Chinese website just past week. A Chinese couple in Houston, and they came, and they came from Asia, and they work hard, and so they own 6 Subway sandwich shop. 6. Very well to do. They live in the gated community, a huge mansion house. They drive the Porsche. They live in style. They're in their 60s. And then you know what? They were just about to think about how to retire, hand it over to their children, and lo and behold, 3 robbers came and not only rob everything and kill both the husband and wife. My friend, these kind of sad news happen actually very often. So when James said that let the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away, is very true. I also know that there used to be a very famous movie star, Chinese movie star. You might have watched his movie a long time ago. His movie name is Wang Yu. Wang Yu, he's a very, very famous movie star. And he made a lot of money. You know, in his big mansion, even the faucet made of pure gold. He always liked to show off all his beautiful, the pool, in Taiwan. That's incredible. And he is 70 years old now. Guess where he is? He is living on tube. He couldn't he not only confined to bed, he could, that he had, there's no hope. He's living on tube. My friend, not that we want to say these things to scare people, but the reality is that, look at here, verse 11, for the sun rises with his scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower fails, its flower falls, and its beauty perish. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuit. Brothers, sisters, it's true, we live in this world. We need money to survive. Everybody does. But don't become slave of money, because they will be like birds fly away. And that's very true. And so what can we learn from this, from verse 9 to 11? That is, in the eyes of God, he values our spiritual status more than our social status. In the eyes of God, he values more of our spiritual status than our social status. Lastly, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Crown of life. In other words, our life, when we die, that's not the end. God still has one more, what is it? God has one more, the judgment. And he will find those who are standing the test, who are steadfast in facing trials. They will receive the reward from God. Crown of life. In other words, throughout our life, and God look us, and God said, well done, you have been faithful in living out your faith. When our life is made of with crown, not only that you get to wear the crown, people get to see that, right? People get to see your crown. People say, you know what? This brother, this sister, look at his life, her life. Look at how they follow the Lord, how they live out their Christian life. Look at that. You see? That's crown. There is honor. There is glory. God give to them. Look at that. You know, ultimately, we have to believe. Remember the Bible, how many times it said that how we follow the Lord, we'll be blessed. Remember in the Deuteronomy that how we follow the Lord and we will be blessed. And I tell you, I believe that. I believe that you know what, when we honor God, we will be blessed. Our children will be blessed. We will be blessed. Why? Because that's what's written in the Bible. And so here it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Brothers and sisters, may God bless you. When you are facing trials in life, count it joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And God is more valuing that the transformation of our character than our circumstances change. Also, we need to ask God for his wisdom. Not just the wisdom to change environment, the wisdom to live out our faith in God. Also, lastly, that whatever situation we are in, whether we are lowly or whether we are highly in this world, in the eyes of God, is more important of our spiritual status than our social status. And God promised he will bless us when we stood the test. May God bless you.